Good morning.
Good morning.
Lennon's song, I think you may have heard a little bit that we were some of the subject matter that Abe and I have selected today. Song title there you just saw, number 943, is Do You Know My Jesus? And we'll be kind of checking your brains to see how well you do know Jesus today. Maybe some things that we hadn't thought about as we look at some subject matter this morning. Today's title is going to be the focus of our study time that we have, The Two Sides of Jesus. We know as Christians that Jesus is integral to our salvation. We know that we can look in the Bible and we can go back to Genesis all the way up to Revelations and we can see that the purpose of all this that we have, all 1,000 pages or whatever your Bible, how many pages it has in it, is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. What He was as God. How He brought us into creation. What His role was in salvation to us today and how it took that sacrifice on the cross of Calvary to die and to be raised again, to give all of us today, all those people before us, and every person that will come after us, our children, grandchildren, and generations, however long it will be that God will allow this earth to stay here, it's only because of Jesus that we have a chance of seeing God one day, because of sin. So some questions you might say. First thing, and I told Abe about the subject on this the other day, and the two sides of Jesus. You might be going through two sides of Jesus. He's crazy. There's only one side of Christ. He's only a good person. He only loved us. He was God. What could you even bring up about him? There was no good and bad side of Jesus. So, well, maybe he's talking about God and man. That's the two sides of Jesus we're going to be talking about today. He's both God and man. We know from Scripture that was true. What about Creator and Savior? Well, He created us, but He also saved us. So maybe that's what we're going to be talking about. Son and Lord? No, it's not that either. We're not talking about any of those things above this morning. Today we're going to be looking at the two criminals crucified on the two sides of Jesus. From Luke, we can go back to Luke 23, verses 32 through 33. You can follow along if you like. My passages are taken from the New King James Bible. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left. I encourage you to go back to the chapter of Luke 23 and look at some of the things that preceded Jesus' death and just look at what he went through. We'll be touching on a few things this morning as we talk about the two sides of Jesus, but it's a really sad thing that you see the Son of God going through what he did. But in the middle of this great person that we talk about, the very focus of the Bible from front to back, from beginning to end, and the Alpha, the Omega, as we were talking about in many places mentioned, Jesus is always the focus. But today we're talking about the person on the right and the person on the left of Jesus when he was crucified. It says here that they were criminals and they were led with him to be put to death. The other Gospels support these same passages. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, it says, "Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left." Luke says criminals, Matthew says robbers. So we know that these people, you put those things together and you got different perspectives. These were not good people. They obviously did bad things and they're paying their punishment for their crime. In the book of Mark, chapter 15, verses 27 through 28, we see a little bit more. With him they also crucified two robbers. So again, the same language that's used in Matthew. One on his right, the other on his left. And we see a little bit more here. We go back to the reference here in Isaiah 53, verse 12. "So that the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors." See that Jesus, when he was on that cross and he was being crucified, we even see, like I said, if you go back into the book of Luke and you look at chapter 23 and you see the people that were putting Christ on that cross could not find any reason to put him out there. There was nothing he did that was wrong in their eyes. It was just the people's influence and their complaining and their murmuring and them wanting Christ to be out of their lives. But we can see here that Jesus himself, so perfect, so flawless, the Son of God on a tree to die, was right beside two people of common criminal life and background. The record of events, and it says in verse 23-35, "And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." They knew about Christ. And again, if you go back to chapter 23, you can see that some of these leaders were even interested in meeting Christ. He had such a reputation. They wanted to see who he was. And they know from what was being taught and what the people said that Jesus said He was able to save others. He could say, your sins are forgiven. He was able to do those things when people had their sins removed, if he healed them, whatever the case may be. But they're saying, well, he had all this power, why can't he do it now? Well, if he could have, then he would not have been able to fulfill what he did to die for us. Also in Luke 23:6-37, the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Again, really important to go back to this 23rd chapter and the other Gospels too and just look at what they're doing to the Son of God. So we've got the rulers sneering and making fun of him and trying to challenge him. Well, come on down there, person that's claiming to be the Son of God. The soldiers doing the same thing, mocking him and making fun of him. Even before he was led to the cross, they were making fun of him and making gestures like he was some special person just to have a laugh at him. In verse 39 of 23, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. And we'll be getting to this in a little bit later. In Luke 23:40-41, but the other, this is the person on the other side of Jesus, remember they're on both sides of him, the other, he's a criminal too. He's a robber, we see from the other Gospels. He answered and rebuked the other criminal, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. On both sides of Christ were criminals. Both were condemned for their actions. Both were sinners, as is all mankind. One criminal was at the side of the Savior, yet he did not give him respect or turn from his ways. The other criminal was at the side of the Savior, admitted his wrongs, and gave Christ respect and asked him for help. He may have not repented at that moment, and we don't have record that he said, oh, God or Lord or whoever you are beside me, Savior, here's what I did, and these are all the wrongs that I did. But he recognized who Christ was. He knew that he had something special, and he knew he did not need to be on that tree from what we just saw on there. The other person did. We may not see it, but these two men represent much of humanity in their situations before God. Well, I've got to throw a definition up here just to kind of get our minds focused. World English Dictionary, I think, is a little bit more of a humanistic type of dictionary, but kind of goes along with the general attitude of what blaspheming is. Their definition is to show contempt or disrespect for God, a divine being or sacred thing, especially in speech. So what do we know about the blaspheming man on the one side of Jesus? Let's look. He was a thief and a robber and knew the law. He was a Jew. We know that most Jews are all brought up to understand what God expects of them. But he was also a citizen. In no country that I've ever been able to read about in history, know about today, or can imagine in things to come, has a law that says, Stealing is a good thing. We encourage it. You will not be punished for it. We know that thievery, stealing, and robbing has always been a crime, and people have always dealt with that. If you go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 15, God says, you shall not steal. In Leviticus 19:13, it says, you shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. Leviticus 19:11, just a couple of verses before that, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. So God's law and man's law condemn theft and thievery. This person, this man on one side of Christ, knew right and wrong, but he chose to steal. So what was he given? He was given the same as us. He was given life, he was given a spirit, and he was given liberty and choice, just the same as what God does for us. So when we have life, in Genesis 2:7, I go back to this so often, but it's so important to just think about, where does life come from? Why do we have it? Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. We are alive because of God. This man was born innocent, just like us. We know from plenty of scripture that as we're born and as we're a young child, that's the type of person that even Jesus said we need to be like. We also know that this man had a spirit. In Job 32:8 says, there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. See, from many passages, and I could have listed more here to help us remember that, but it's one thing that God breathes life into us, but it's another thing that he gives us each a spirit. And it tells us that in the Bible, that each person has a spirit that is going to live on forever. This man was given an eternal spirit just like us. The third thing that we talked about is this man had liberty and choice. in Joshua 24:15, one of my favorite passages from Joshua, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But he finishes that up and he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." God never tells us that you're going to serve me from the beginning of your life until you die and you have absolutely no choice. I'm going to put a track down and you're going to fill this track and you're not going to be able to turn right or left. You're just going to go straight ahead. God gave us that choice. He gave us the ability to say yes and to say no, to choose Him or to choose to do wrong. And the same thing was given to these criminals on both sides of Christ. This man was given liberty and choice just like us. This criminal was a robber, was a sinner, and was being punished for his crimes. His crimes were sins. We know that sin brings forth death. From the Bible we are told, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." So we may not be robbers, but what about sinners? In Galatians 5:19-21, we see the works of the flesh are listed here, and just the majority of those that we often talk about. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's the list. We may not do the worst of those things that we just talked about, but any of those things can condemn us. I've bolded some things here again. Uncleanness, hatred, jealousies, wrath, selfish ambitions, envy. There's a lot of other things on there that some of us maybe never have to deal with. But those things are all wrong. And again, at the very end, I've bold, "Those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Jesus was so near to the man, both men actually, on the sides of him at his crucifixion. But the man that blasphemed him, the man that was scoffing at him, this man would not accept who Christ was. If only he had. In Romans 10:9, some of these passages come after this moment that we're looking at these criminals on Calvary, but for us to be thinking about these things in a spiritual way, let's look at these passages. It says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." We'll be talking about the other criminal here on Abe's lesson. But for this person, he could have believed who Christ was. He was exposed to the same things that Jesus did. He was exposed to what was going on. Again, if you read Luke chapter 23 and you see some of the events that people were witnessing while Christ was on that cross, some powerful things were happening around these people. And I think you see the soldiers changing their minds on who Christ was. You see the one criminal changing his mind on who Christ was. But not this guy, not the one that was on the side scoffing at him just like everybody else. That man failed the test. But are we passing? Is the question I'm asking this morning. In Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." Both of these guys were criminals, but this guy here had an extra dose of bad. The treasure of his heart was not in good at all. He did not see Christ for anything other than somebody just to poke fun at, knowing that he was about to die, and not even thinking about his soul for after this life. Like the thieves, Christ is right beside each of us today. Like the thieves, we are under sin and face death, just like these men. Like the thieves, our fate depends on our choices. Christ was killed for us to live, but do we care? Yes, sin brings forth death, but Romans 6:23, "The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The gift of God. It is ours for the taking. I know we've had some lessons lately that people have talked about that. I think Nick talked about this a while ago. Kyle's talked about it. Abe's had it in a lesson. You can offer some great things to people and hold it out for them, but unless they get up and they take it, it's not going to matter. In Acts 26:28, we see another thing we see in Acts after this moment. "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.'" On both of those criminals' conscience were the things that they had done their entire lives. Whenever somebody is on death row, even today, all the things of their past are going through their mind. And you can hear that. They'll tell you, "I think about all the things I've done." Some people are sorry. Some people go to God in their last days and they ask for forgiveness and they want to make changes. But other people are just devoted to being unhappy, to being against God and to thinking that life was not fair to them. Agrippa and Paul had all these conversations, and Agrippa said, I'm almost ready to become a Christian, but not right now. I've got other things that are on my mind. And that criminal, even though he was about to die, had other things on his mind. Know almost when we're talking about the gift of God. Take it, keep it, and pass it on. We don't know a lot about the robbers on the cross beside Jesus. We do know that like us, they were sinners. And without Christ, we would have no hope. Today, we know that Christ came here for the ungodly to save us. In Romans 5:6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Remember one of the things, that if you go back and you read Luke 23, all these things are happening around Christ. Everybody's making fun of Him. Everybody's scoffing at Him and shaking their heads and just treating Him so bad. And He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. We see this passage here. It says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In Romans 5:8, just a couple verses later, but God demonstrates His own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just like those two men right beside Christ on that cross were sinners, and they were paying for their sins and paying for their crimes and had no hope of eternal life, in between them, the Savior of the world was there and they just had to go to Him. We look at how a person in a desperate situation still will not be obedient to God, holding on to pride to the very bitter end. I bet I could ask around this room for people to raise their hand, the family members and friends that have gone to death's doorstep. Sometimes they've gotten away from it safely for now, but they just will not accept God. They just have no interest in Him. In our next lesson, Abel will look at the other robber and discuss the difference in these two men, their action, and the effects. We all need Christ, and we need to let Him know. This morning the lesson wasn't very long, but I think it's an important one. I think the song that Glendon chose for us to be singing in our invitation, Do You Know My Jesus? Do you think these criminals knew about Jesus? Do you think they knew anything about Him? They had to have. Christ was just too much of a topic point at that time. He was always in the news, you could say. Everybody seemed to know who He was on earth. But a lot of people just couldn't accept who He was on the spiritual side. That spiritual side is what saves us. And we look at those criminals a lot of times, and we look at them on both sides of Christ, and we say, those are the worst there were. There's nobody worse than that. And we just don't give it another thought. But what I wanted to think about this morning, some of those things that we talked about, is there's not a whole lot of difference between those criminals and sometimes how we live our lives. We too are on the side of Christ. He's right beside us. He tells us that. He's in spirit. He can be right beside us. He knows us. He knows our heart. He can just be right beside somebody, and you can't sometimes know what they're thinking. Husbands and wives, how many times have you been beside your spouse and said, what is he thinking? What is she thinking? I don't know. Christ knows what we're thinking. He knows what's in our heart. And if it's not right, He wants us to get that straightened out. This morning, if we want to know Jesus better, we need to let God know that we've got problems in our lives that need solved. We need to let Him know that we're right beside Christ. We recognize Christ, and we need to make sure that we are obedient to Him. There was two thieves on that cross, two robbers. One of them was obedient to understanding who Christ was. One didn't care. We need to make sure that we're not the one who doesn't care. So this morning, as we take our songbooks out, let's sing number 943. If there's any needs that need to be shared with the congregation that we can pray for or have one added to the church, let us stand and sing the song.